Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Second Chronicles 7:14 for just a few moments, because this is going to be a series. I just want you to take out a snippet this morning, a little nugget this morning, okay? Title of the message is, What Should We Do? What should we do? Second Chronicles 7:14 is a conditional passage of Scripture. I just want to start this, give you the introduction to it, and then we're going to work our way through from Sunday to Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to erupt in this place, in other ministries, within this community, within this region, within this state, across the nation. And Father, this is prime time for the body of Christ to begin showing who we are because of Jesus Christ. As you were with the disciples and the early church, you are with us today. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the instructions that you have given to us from this platform today. And now we invite the Holy Spirit to further instruct us for a few moments from this passage. Without you, Holy Spirit, we cannot teach and we have no information to pass on. So we're asking now for your guidance and direction, and that you will lead us in a very simple format that we will know what we should do. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and it might be there on the screen, or you can open up your Bible. It says, if my people, everyone say if. That is the condition that God's going to use to speak to Israel. But how many know that today we're the modern Israel, as in we've been grafted in because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Here's what he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, search for me and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It's kind of like this type of a proposal. If then, if you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do these, I won't do these. So that's what we're going to be looking at for several weeks as God directs us through 2 Chronicles 7:14. All we're going to focus on this morning for a few moments is the opening term. Listen closely. If my people. Miss Mayo did not know that the message was going to focus in on that you and I are chosen by God. So you can never be alone. You will always have someone in your corner. If no one's there, someone's there. His name is Emmanuel. So the word if is a conditional clause. It's a verse that we're going to be looking at that carries a conditional clause to those who are the people of God. This is not a verse for you to take out and share with the lost. This is a verse directed to the people of God. Specifically at that time, it was the Jewish people. For us today, looking back at that old covenant, because we have been grafted in, as the Bible clearly shows us in the Gospel of John, God is speaking to us, if my people. So this morning, I'm going to ask that you respond to your Father. How many know we do a pretty good job responding to people, but we don't always respond to the Father? So this morning, I'm going to just briefly lay this out, and then we'll come back and pick up. I want you to see this morning that God is going to ask for a response. Let's not be like the Jews of old, where the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. This is not the hour or the time for the church to reject the Father. This is not the hour in this nation for us to go, he's not speaking. Well, there's several psalms that speak to the fact that if you and I have a voice and we have eyes and ears, God has a voice. God has never stopped speaking. We've just stopped listening. Will you respond to the Father this morning? We are his people. One more time. If my people. Oswald Chambers said, God did not direct his call to Isaiah. Isaiah overheard God saying, who will go for us? The call of God is not just for a select few, but for everyone. Stay with me. Are you ready? This word this morning that's going to be very brief is for everybody in this room. It's not for one person or two individuals. It's for everyone under the sound of the gospel. He goes on to say, the call of God is not just for a select few, but for everyone. Whether I hear God's call or not depends on the condition of my ears. And exactly what I hear depends upon my spiritual attitude. If you'd like to hear more about Oswald Chambers, he wrote the book, it's a devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. So we all have ears, and we all have hearts, and we all have attitudes. And what you receive this morning is going to be based upon your ears and your heart and your mind, as it was for Israel. Amen? How many believe it's going to really be short this morning? It really is, because I'm almost where we're going to stop for this morning, because I want you to walk out knowing who you are, who you belong to, and what the Holy Spirit just did in this room this morning. So that there'll be no mistake when you walk out, when you go, wow, people were anointed. I saw teenagers raise their hand. There were individuals with tears in their eyes. God must have been present. That's the response God's looking for when he shows up. Let me explain it to you this way. There's nothing that hurts more at Christmas than for you to sit at the tree and find nothing there for you. How many times God has shown up in the body of Christ to give us and to share with us and to instruct us, and you know what? We're not there at the tree. And I'm talking about the cross, not the Christmas tree. So Israel had been looking for the Messiah, and the Messiah shows up, and Israel rejected the Messiah. May I say to you, this is no hour for this nation to turn her back on the God of creation. I want to clarify something else as I just give you the first point this morning. God is the creator of all mankind, but he's not the father of all mankind. The only way that I ever came to know him as Father is when I recognized I needed a Savior. And he already provided the Savior. Let me clarify that again. I don't have the time to take you through a theological training. God is the creator of all things, of all people. But not all people call God their Father. You call God your Father when you recognize what he saw. Sin was on the canvas of the earth, and there had to be a substitute, because none of us can die for ourselves, let alone for others. Paul came to the conclusion of the book of Romans. He said, if I could, I would give up my whole life for Israel, that they would come to the saving knowledge. But how many know that doesn't make it? There has to be a substitute, and that person's name was Jesus Christ. I don't want to mislead anyone, because we're living in an hour of deception. I'm talking about in this world. There's a game plan out there to deceive people. That's not our calling as the people of God. That's the world's calling to do it to the people of God. So this morning, ask yourself, am I one of his? My cousin and I, when he was together with me this past week, he said, you know, I'm still amazed about that verse where Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. I've been dwelling on that. I'm about to unpack just the first principle that I want you to get this morning. It's nice for me to be able to say I know Jesus, but it's critical that he knows me. You're not getting to heaven because you knew Jesus. You're going to heaven because he knew you. Because you've been to the foot of the cross and you've recognized there is no other Savior. Though I've had some saviors along the way, and you can go ahead and fill all those terms in that makes things your savior or my savior, but there's only one savior. And until I buy into that and bow at the foot of the cross, I don't know God as my father. In fact, the Bible says, without him drawing us, we will never come to him. It's called prevenient grace. Before man ever reached out to God, God reached out to man. Does that break pride down or what? This statement has always intrigued me. I found the Lord. Are you kidding me? He found you. The other day I was asking the Lord, as I was working, I said, and it's just the human mindset. I said, Jesus, will you walk with me? And I heard an abrupt stop on the inside. And I immediately apologized and I said, will you allow me to walk with you? See the difference? Let me say it again. Lord, will you walk with me? You're talking to the King, folks. You're talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Will you walk with me? It should be this way. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Will you please, please anoint me so that I can walk with you? Do you see the difference? Can I tell you something this morning? After all these years of ministry, listen closely. The greatest hook to deceive the church is pride. If you're sitting there saying, I still don't get that silly little illustration, that's because you're blinded by pride. The Holy Spirit stopped me immediately when I said, Lord Jesus, will you walk with me? It's the other way around, ladies and gentlemen. May I please have the privilege to walk with you? You know why? Because I don't know the steps he wants me to take. He's not walking with me. I'm walking with him. Meaning he's designing my life. I'm not. Do you see now why Israel rejected him when he came? Church, are you here for just a couple more moments? Those who could recognize that he was the Son of God and he was the Messiah, they were still trying to manipulate him so that he would do what they wanted him to do when it was time for them to make a move. They wanted him to overthrow Rome. That wasn't his purpose. Hello, church. That was not his purpose in coming. He knew before he came here that he was going to the cross. That's why he came. Watch this. I'll guarantee you that Jesus, I can't wait to find this to be totally true when I get home, as in home to heaven. I'll guarantee you Jesus never said to the Father, will you walk with me? But the other way around. Proof? In the garden, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. We do want Jesus to walk with us, long as he lets us do what we want to do. And Tom Dooley said, the most dangerous position in the life of a Christian is when God lets you have your own way. I am a prime example, years back, when God let me have my own way. He'll let you have your own way. You're still his child, but there's no anointing on your life. You know why? Because it's the anointing that attracts people to Jesus, and he doesn't want to see other people being misled because you're being misled. Are you here this morning? Do you understand why Israel rejected Jesus Christ? They wanted him to be their king. They did not want him to be their God. Because if he's God, then he's reigning and ruling. Not just in the earth, that's an automatic. He's now reigning and ruling in what he's possessed and purchased. Hello? Hello? One verse this morning, and I'm going to ask this morning one question. What should you and I do hearing what we've heard this morning? Witnessing what we've witnessed this morning. I remember hearing Dr. A.W. Tozer only by tape. I never got to hear him in person. He said this, we cannot dichotomize Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We cannot take him as Savior and not Lord. And many of you have heard these statements. Ready? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Listen, he's not a part-time owner of my life. Let me explain it to you this way. Well, Father, just kind of a simple role play. Father, good morning. It's Sunday, And I know it's the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day, Dennis. That's what he does to me. The Holy Spirit does that kind of stuff. I want to be at my best today, and I want to bring you honor and glory. I want you to do that every day, Dennis. When you start talking to him and you have a relationship with him, he talks back. He will correct you better than a classroom teacher. He does it lovingly, but he will absolutely let you know. Are you listening to what you're saying? Closing verse. If my people, how are you responding right now? Not to me. How are you responding right now to the Holy Spirit? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, as we come to a close. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. It would be good for the body of Christ to start saying, Holy Spirit, you own me because Jesus purchased me. I am your possession. It's fun to sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me. We like to sing it until he shows up and says, start doing it. Come on, church. How many want to see an increase of the anointing of God in this house, in your home? Hear the word of the Lord this morning. If my people, this is all conditional. You can walk out and flip the script and go, I accept the condition on my terms. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what the author has put for us in the word. If then, if you as a person of God, speaking of myself, if I will do what he asked me to do, he'll do what he said he would do. But he's not going to do the things I want him to do until I do the things he's asking me to do. Why can he ask me? Because I'm his child. I'm almost there. What right does God have to say for me to turn it down, turn it off, be quiet, go quietly, say nothing, fast and pray, seek my faith? Because he's God and I'm not. Because he purchased me, I didn't. Let me finish the verse again. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And by the way, holiness, because I grew up in that era, has nothing to do with the outside. It's the inside. It's the inside. I don't care about the clothes as long as it's covered. Clothes isn't the issue. Hair's not the issue. Rings aren't the issue. Holiness is inside, not outside. If I'm dirty on the inside, I don't care what you got. You're still dirty. Hello? It was either John the Baptist or Jesus who said, why did sepulchers full of dead men's bones? Man, he's launched out into, no, I'm talking about holiness. Holiness is inside, not outside. Holiness has nothing to do with the exterior, the clothes you put on, the hair that you wear, or what, how you do, none of that stuff, your face or your ears or your lips. That's not holiness. Holiness is inside. This is, we're almost there. Listen, this is holiness, that when God says, like he said this morning, I do what he says for me to do, that's an act of holiness. I've been praying all weekend about this morning. I didn't know God was going to do that. But see, that's our problem. We want to know what God knows. Sometimes we are God. Our own God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Watch this. I sing that all the time. So if I would have walked up here this morning knowing that the anointing was upon her life, and I say to the Lord, I trust you, and then God speaks to me and says, release this for the next moment, that's called disobedience. But you wouldn't have known it. But the Holy Spirit would have. Yeah. Let's pray. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't think the Holy Spirit's looking for an altar call, but I was out watering bushes yesterday and I heard Dr. Walker from Mount Perrin Church of God in Atlanta, Georgia. No. Not in a message, in my spirit. I could hear him beginning to sing, and this is what it means to be chosen of God. If Joshua, you can help me out, it'll help me big time by just turning the music down so I can get this chorus out in obedience to the Lord. He often would stand and sing in a Sunday night service, and this is what's kept me true to the body of Christ. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. One more time. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. We won't leave here like we came in Jesus' name. Dennis, could you tell me what it means to be a member of the body of Christ? When you're chosen, you live out that chorus. From this day forth, there are going to be individuals who are going to be set free in this house. There's going to be healing in this house. There's going to be restoration in this house. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit is not here. For wherever the Holy Spirit is, the signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. How can you say that, Dennis? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now the music can come back up. I want to pray a prayer of blessing before I turn this over to Paul to give the benediction. So what are you going to do, body of Christ? Are you going to tell God to walk with you, or are you going to ask God, can I walk with you today? Can I walk with you? Others may not be walking with you, but would you be willing to say, Father, can I walk with you? What are you going to do with this message this morning? It's conditional. You can reject it. Many have. I'm talking about the message of the gospel. Remember, we were on the outside looking in, and he grafted us in. As God's chosen people, God's possession, what are you going to do with God's message this morning? What will you do? If your response is to go, you know what? I'm never going to leave the way I came in. I'm not going to walk out of my home the way I walked in last night. There's going to be a difference in my home. There's going to be a difference in my job. There's going to be a difference on the streets. There's going to be, wherever I go, there will be a difference, because the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is just the same. And if you'd like to just stand across this room, no one coming to the front, we're just standing in uniform, standing together as a family, as members of the body of Christ, which is much bigger than this room. But you would like to stand to say, I know exactly what I'm going to do with the word today. I'm his. I'm all his. And as you're standing, I'll try one more time. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Father, we are standing across this room, and many are standing on the front lines throughout the body of Christ across nations. And we are asking for a fresh anointing so that you can use whoever you want in any service to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That we can speak to the forces that are tormenting others and command those spirits to leave in Jesus' name. That the sick will be made whole. Marriages restored. For the book of Acts is not closed, it is open. And we are your people. Lead this house in Jesus' name. We bless your word this morning. Cover it, train us by it, and we will yield the members of our body to it every day. Lead on, O King Eternal. We are your children. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.